gift last Sunday. Very, very much so for Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And I used it to buy this Bible. It's a Bible I've always wanted, but I couldn't necessarily get my hands on, couldn't afford it there. But I appreciate that gift that you gave me that made it possible to get this. And I pray it'll be a tool to be used for the Lord's glory. But I just wanted to show you guys and tell you I really do appreciate it. I'm going to make the best use of it I can. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to use it this morning a little bit, if the Lord will. Take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 John and chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. I hope the message can be a blessing and encouragement to someone here this morning. And oftentimes I quote from the text that we'll be reading this morning for our message. Oftentimes I reference it because it's such a good passage of Scripture. I use it almost every time I really get a chance to witness to someone. And it's a very important passage of Scripture, especially for the day and age in which we deal. And I sure do appreciate all the goodness of the Lord in this opportunity to preach this morning. I want to jump right into it in 1 John chapter number 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that he is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. For who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he testifieth of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." And I want you to pay very close attention to the next three verses that we're going to read. And the Bible says, "And this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Thank you so much. And I want to preach, if the Lord would help me, for just a few moments this morning on this thought. Do you know that you know?
Amen.
Do you know that you know? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And God, we're so indebted to you, Lord, and we're at your mercy this morning. And God, I pray that you'd help me to preach. You know, I can't do it on my own, Lord, that my speech is stammering. And Lord, that without you, Father, I'd just be up here making a fool of myself. But Father, I pray that you would just use the power of your word and your message, Lord, to convict hearts, to draw sinners to Christ and backsliders back to the fold. And Lord, I pray that you just have your will in your way in our hearts and our minds. Let your Holy Ghost have free reign in this service, and we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. I mentioned just a moment ago that this is perhaps one of my favorite passages of Scripture to use when I'm trying to witness to someone, when I'm trying to tell someone about the Lord, because there's a misconception in many of people's minds today that when they think of heaven and when they think of Christ and they think of God and they think of judgment, they automatically assume that God is just going to judge them based on their works and whether or not they will make it into heaven or whether or not they will be damned eternally. And what they think is that they're going to get to heaven and God's going to run down a list of everything they've done that was good and everything they've done that was bad, and perhaps you would put them on a scale of perhaps he would compare them before him, and he would just think, well, you've done more good things than you've done bad things, so I'm going to go ahead and let you in. And in fact, that is not how it works at all. The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." It is an entirely dependent act on God. It is because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross. And if we will put our faith and trust alone in him, in the gospel for salvation, that is how we are delivered from our sins. It has nothing to do with who you are. It has nothing to do with what you wore to church today. It has nothing to do with where your name might be on the membership roll. It has nothing to do with where with whether or not you've been baptized or whether you paid tithe. And listen to me. I think you ought to dress right to church. I think you ought to pay your tithe. I think you ought to be baptized. I think you ought to be part of a good church. But if you think that those things are going to get you to heaven, you are mistaken this morning.
Amen.
Absolutely not. And there's many a people, and I'm talking about educated people. I'm talking about adult people. I'm talking about people who have gotten in this Bible and read this Bible and tried to learn of it what they could. And without the Holy Spirit of God, they've come to believe that it is somehow something that they earn on their own merit. There's also many people in this day and age that have no idea whether or not they're going to go to heaven when they die. Perhaps they go to bed every single night and they pillow their head and they're in deep contrition and they're in deep thought, and they sit there and they wonder about eternity, and they wonder about what's to come after they draw that final breath, and they have no peace in their heart, and they stress and they worry and they think about all these things. And if they're in one of those churches where they're subject to that false teaching, they're always counting up their nickels and they're thinking, well, have I done this good today? Have I done this bad today? Have I done enough to earn my way in today? And they're thinking all these things. Or perhaps they're just so blinded by the devil that eternity is not even a thought that would enter into their mind. They never think about heaven. They never think about hell. They never think about God. They just think about today. They think about right now. They think about what's going to make them happy. They think about what's going to give them this temporary joy, and that's all that's on their mind. But let me say something to you in here this morning, friend. There is nothing more important in this world than knowing that you're saved, than knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and that you've been born again, that you've been regenerated by the Spirit of God, that you've been saved by the grace of God. We've got it out there on our sign right there. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
And John tells us this right here in this passage of Scripture, that we can know that we can know that we're saved. Amen. And I want to look at a few things before we get into the main message here. And I promise I'm not going to preach forever this morning, but I do want to preach something important. So I beg of you here this morning to just lend me your ear and lend me your heart and let the Word of God captivate your hearts and understand what we're getting a hold of this morning, because there is no thing in this world that is of more grave importance than what we're going to be talking about here this morning. First and foremost, let's look right here at the beginning of the chapter where he says this, "Whosoever believeth," amen? Whosoever believeth. You know what that means? That means anybody. That means it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter if you look like everybody else in the church. It doesn't matter if you've been locked up and in prison or if you have priors or anything like that. There's so many churches in today's day and age, and they would turn away people because they don't necessarily meet their status quo. They don't necessarily qualify when their standards are set a lot higher than God's, because my Bible says, whosoever believeth, amen, that means anybody. Hey, I'm glad this morning that I'm a whosoever. I'm glad this morning that I know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and that He was willing to forgive my sins, that He was willing to cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. When I was wicked and I was ungodly and I was sinful and I was unholy, God was willing to save my wretched, ever dying soul from hell, because I am a whosoever. Amen. He says, whosoever believeth. I like that right there. Verse number 2, he says this, by this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and we keep His commandments. Simple put, as easy as it is right there, if you love God, you're going to obey God. I heard a preacher the other day. He said something pretty interesting. It was simple, but it was profound. He says, you can obey God without loving God, but you can't love God without obeying God. Amen. And if you love God, people are going to know it. You're going to love the things of God. You're going to love the work of God. You're going to love the message of God. You're going to love the gospel. You're going to love His church. You're going to love the things of God. And John, he's saying right here, he's trying to build himself a porch, if you will, or an introduction, if you will, into this so great a truth, this message that he's getting ready to convey to us. And he says, if you love God, you're going to obey God. And in verses number 3 and 4, he says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Listen to me this morning. If you're in here and you're a sinner and you've never been saved by the grace of God, and you're thinking, preacher, this all sounds good, but I don't think I can live it. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can pull it off. I don't think I can live it exactly the way the Bible has for it to say. Well, I got news for you here this morning. You can't on your own. You cannot on your own, and neither can I. I can't even walk day by day without Him holding my hand. And the Bible says that if we're born again by the Spirit of God in verse number 4, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. As a Christian, as a child of God, as a believer, you have some serious enemies in this world. The devil, and he is a real person. You better believe that this morning. And he is out to get you, and he's not out just to ruin your day, to give you a bad hair day. He's out to wreck your life. He's out to wreck your family. He's out to wreck your marriages. He's out to get your kids hooked on dope. He's out to do all these things, and he's malicious, and he's vicious, and he doesn't fight fair, and he's your enemy this morning. And not only he alone, but the world that hated the Son of God, the world that rejected the Son of God, and not only those two, but yourself, your flesh is your very own enemy. We have a sin nature in and of ourselves that fights and strives against the holiness and the Spirit of God, and what it wants more than anything is to rebel against those things that would please God. Heard a preacher say one morning, he said, if you come next Sunday morning, he says, I'm going to name from the pulpit the man in this town who's given me more trouble than anybody I've ever had to deal with. He said, he's a low down, rotten, dirty scoundrel, and I'm going to name him from the pulpit next Sunday. And people got all fired up, and all the deacons got scared, and they all came to church packing that Sunday, and they were worried things were going to get crazy, and that preacher got up in the pulpit. He says, I'll tell you who it is, and he named his own name. See, the biggest enemy that you and I have is ourselves. Amen. Our own wicked, sinful flesh. And I'll tell you what that flesh is going to do. That flesh is going to do everything that it can to try and talk you out of these truths. Amen. That God has for you this morning. Amen. The Spirit of God's going to work in your heart, and perhaps the altar call will come around, perhaps the invitation will come around, the devil and your flesh is going to say, you don't need to go up there, you don't need to get saved. You can just wait, you can just put it off a little while. See, the Bible says, we knoweth not what is on the morrow, but our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a moment and vanisheth away. Not a one single one of us in here. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how healthy you are, we're not promised tomorrow. Amen. Amen. And Jesus says, for those that are saved, He gives us, He equips us with what we need to overcome the world. He says this, even our faith. It reminds me of what Paul would say to the church at Ephesus, where he's speaking about the whole armor of God, and he says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. If you're saved, if you'll get saved in here this morning, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you are saved, you need to realize that God has equipped you with more than enough to fight against this wickedness, more than enough to fight against the sin in your life and the lust of the flesh and of the eyes and of the pride of life, and God can deliver you from those things. That is a very present truth, that you can have victory in Christ today. Amen. You can still be saved and not be walking in victory. Amen. You can be saved by the grace of God and be walking in defeat, given to sin, backslidden on God, miserable. See, listen to me now. I don't believe the most miserable people in the world are unsaved people. They're blinded. I believe the most miserable people in the world are backslidden Christians. Amen. Christians living in sin, living in ways they know not to do better because there's an emptiness in their heart. Listen to me. I've been there. 5 years ago, I was that person. I was trying to fill that void with liquor. I was trying to fill that void with drugs. I was trying to fill that void with relationships and parties and all these things. And night by night, my phone would ring off the hook and somebody wanted me somewhere, always being somewhere, doing something. And I thought that all those things could satisfy me. But every single night that I pillow my head, I'd go to bed miserable and empty and feeling alone. And it's because I knew that God had given me a life better than that. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to give life, and He came to give life more abundantly. Amen. And listen to me, friend. When I got right with God, when I repented of my sins and I said, Jesus, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do what you want for me to do. All those friends might have quit texting me. They might have quit calling me. It's like they fell off the place of the off the face of the earth. I might have stopped getting all those invitations to all those places that I thought mattered. But let me tell you something, friend. God returned to me what I lost tenfold. Amen. I got friends that care about me. I got a church that loves me. I got a church family that loves God and wants to serve God. And there is no life like a life living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in here this morning and you're saved, God can give you exactly what you need to overcome the world. Even our faith, John says. He says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's a rhetorical question, isn't it? He said, who's going to have that victory unless you're saved? He said, unless you have the victor himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who held captivity captive and gave gifts unto all men, who freely redeems all those who will believe. He said, unless you've got Jesus, you don't have anything.
Amen.
And listen to me, you might have wealth, you might have money, you might have cars, you might have all those things. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have a hope in this world of living a life that's happy and joyous and pleasing to Him. You can't know that unless you know Christ. You can't know a life of victory unless you know Christ. You can't know a life where you overcome addiction unless you know Christ. You can't know a life where you overcome the sin problems in your life unless you know Christ. You can't know a life that's truly joyous and full of joy unspeakable and full of glory unless you know Christ. Without Jesus, we don't have a hope.
Amen.
We don't have a hope in this world without Jesus. And John expresses that in verse number 5 there. And in verse number 6, he says this. He says, "This is He that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." I did a whole lot of study in the past couple of days on this. And I had a whole lot of people, a lot of theologians, so to say, in commentaries. And one will say, "Well, they meant this." One will say, "Well, they meant that." And then just when I get to thinking, "Well, I'm pretty sure this is what it means," I'd hear somebody else say something. I say, "That's not true." But I'm telling you here this morning what I believe that means. John was dealing with a lot of people attacking the character of Christ and who He was individually. And John, he speaks this truth to express to us this morning that Jesus Christ was in fact the very virgin-born Son of God, and that He was born of flesh, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Bible would say that He took upon Him the form of a servant, that He was in fact 100% God, the very God seated on the throne of glory, and that He was yet 100% man who came to the earth to die and bleed and suffer and take the sins of the world on His shoulders at Calvary's cross to die in our place. We have to understand here this morning that it was not the Spirit of Jesus that just blessed a certain man and allowed for him to take the sins of the world, but it was God Himself. It was God's only begotten Son. It was Jesus Himself that died on that cross, and the very Spirit of God bears witness of this. Paul expresses this truth a little bit more in verse number 7. He says this, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now, I hope you have a King James Bible this morning, because if you don't, that verse isn't in there.
That's right.
They have clipped that verse, the text critics, the one who said, "Well, I know that this is the way that God preserved His Bible, but I don't think that's the way He wanted it preserved. I'm just going to take this part out and put this part in and do this and that there." They take that verse out of the Scriptures. My friend, if you take verse number 7 out of the 5th chapter of the book of 1 John, you're attacking the doctrine of the Trinity. See, the Bible says, "And for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost." You say, who's He talking about with the Word right there? Well, if you look in your Bible, that W is capitalized. Go back to what John said in John chapter number 1. What did He say? He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Amen.
"All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made." Verse number 14. He said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld its glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When we talk about the Word, and we talk about the capital W-O-R-D that John's talking about, we're talking about Jesus Christ Himself, made flesh.
Amen.
It's very important here this morning. If you want to know that you're going to heaven, you've got to know who Jesus is.
Amen.
You've got to know that Jesus was in fact the Son of God, came to this earth, robed in flesh, to die for the sins of the world. He says, these three bear record in heaven. He says, these three are one. Jesus told His disciples, I believe it was Thomas, said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Every visual manifestation you're going to see of God in the Bible is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 8, "And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." Speaking of the testimony of yet the divinity as well as the humanity of Christ bearing witness with the Spirit in the witness and the gospel and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
In verse number 9, he says this, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater." Listen to me, friend. When we go out and we knock on these doors and we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and we tell that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father by Him, it's one thing that we're going, and it's a great thing that we're going. But what really makes the difference is the Spirit of God that they receive when they're under conviction, or their spirit's going to bear witness. They're going to say, "Hey, listen, I've been saved. I know that to be true. And my spirit bears witness to that in my heart. The witness of man doesn't make a hill of beans when it comes to the witness of God." Why would I want to trust what some man says about God when I can trust what God said about Himself? Amen. That's why when I get up here and preach, I say, don't just take my word for it. Get in this book and look at it. That's why when I preach, I try to go line upon line, precept upon precept. I try to be faithful to the Word of God, expositing what exactly God had had me to say, because it doesn't make any difference what I think. It doesn't make any difference what I believe. The only thing that makes a difference is what God says and what God's truth relates to us here this morning. Witness of God hath testified of His Son. And I like verse number 10. Hallelujah. He that believeth on the Son hath witness of himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave him of His Son. Listen to me. Hearing the gospel is wonderful, but believing the gospel, that's what gets you to heaven.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people, I'm not going to get into all that here this morning. If you're here this morning, you never believed the gospel, you need to.
Amen.
You will not go to heaven without believing the gospel.
That's right.
You will not go to heaven without being saved. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that to warn you of the impending judgment of God, because you and I are sinners and we disobey God, and because of that, we deserve hell. We deserve to be separated from God. But God loves you so much that He would rather die then see you go to hell.
Amen.
And He proved it because He took your place on the cross. That should have been you and I on that cross. That should have been you and I whipped and scourged and mocked and stripped naked and embarrassed and spat upon and beaten. But He said He would take our place. I like Romans 5:8, my favorite verse in the Bible. But God commendeth His love toward us. Y'all know there's a difference between somebody saying they love you and somebody showing you they love you. He didn't just say He loves us. He showed us He loves us. He showed us He loved us with the whips across His back. He showed us He loved us when He was beaten and when He was ridiculed and when He was mocked and when He took those nail-pierced hands from the Calvary's cross and they were nailed to that cross and He was hung there in the sun in agonizing pain for hours while He bled and died for the sins of the world. He cried out. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen to me, friend. That's the only way you'll get into heaven. He that believeth on the Son of God is he that hath witness in himself. If you're in here this morning and you're saved, then you know it. But if you're in here this morning and you're not saved, you know it.
That's right.
The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. You can't get yourself to heaven. It's only going to be God. And I'm going to finish here. That's just been the introduction, but I promise the message won't take as long as the introduction did. I want to look at these three verses. I want to notice some things, some truths that we have right here in the Bible in 1 John chapter number 5. First and foremost, I see the profession of salvation. What's John say? And this, he's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the message. He's talking about the truth that Jesus Christ was 100% man and yet 100% God. And He came to be the substitutionary atonement, to die in place for our sins, to take our place on the cross. He says, and this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and that this life is in His Son. Perhaps the most popular verse ever quoted in history, John chapter number 3 and verse number 16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen to me, friend. God gave Himself to you. God laid down His life that you might be saved from your sins. God was willing to come to this earth and suffer and bleed and die, having done nothing wrong. That thief on the cross, he cried out to the other thief. The one thief was mocking Jesus, and that other thief looks at him and he said, this man hath done nothing amiss. He said he didn't do anything to deserve to get up on this cross, but still yet, Jesus on the cross of Calvary looks up to heaven, suspended between earth and man and the Father. God the Father had to turn His back on the Son. He had to be forsaken of the Father so that we could be beloved, so that we could be accepted, so that we could have salvation. It had to be that way.
Amen.
We couldn't get ourselves there. And it's built upon this profession of faith that God hath given unto us eternal life, and that this life is in His Son. You won't find that eternal life anywhere else.
Amen.
You might hear modern day philosophers and modern day theologians say, well, it's just that you have an idea of some kind of higher power or some sort of a God, and that ultimately will bring you to this state of nirvana when you die and you'll go exactly where you want to go. That's not how it works. I say that here this morning, that's not how it works. Heaven's a real place.
Amen.
And it's wonderful and it's grand and it's splendid. You can read about it all in the Bible. If you've been coming to Sunday school, Brother Larry's been teaching about it for weeks now. It's a real place, friend. But just as real and just as wonderful as heaven is, hell is a real place. And it burns with a real fire.
Amen.
And it's filled with men and women and boys and girls who have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ and refused to accept that truth that we preach today. We see the profession of this faith. And not only do we see the profession of the faith, and here, this might be perhaps the most important thing we look at this morning. We see the possession of this faith. Because we got a lot of people who will profess, but not a lot of people who possess. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Verse number 12, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. It's that simple. If you've got Jesus, you've got life. If you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and you've been cleansed from your sins, you have that eternal life. Hey, I'm glad that when you get saved, God doesn't put you on probation. Amen. Listen to me, friend. If you're in here and you don't know a whole lot about the Bible and what it teaches about salvation, a lot of people think, well, I got saved once or I made a profession of faith once, but then I backslid, so I got to get saved again. That's not how it works, friend. God saves you, and the same God that has the power of salvation to save you has the power of salvation to keep you. Amen. Paul urges us in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Friend, if it was up to you and I to keep our salvation, we'd be on our way to hell before the light bulbs cool off in the sanctuary after morning service, because we're all sinners and we're all unworthy and we're all undeserving. As a matter of fact, that word grace is unique from mercy, in that grace is the unmerited favor of God. That means you didn't do nothing, I didn't do nothing to deserve the grace of God, and without that grace we are not saved. If you don't have the Son, you don't have grace. If you don't have the Son, you don't have mercy. The possession of this faith, the possession of this salvation. He says, and he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you don't have Jesus this morning, you're on your way to hell.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there will be a lot of people that stand before God who profess to have Jesus but really didn't. See, the Bible tells us of things to come. In Titus chapter number 1, the Bible says this, unto the pure things that are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. In Matthew chapter number 7, the Lord Jesus says this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father that is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not done many wonderful works? And you know what he'll say to them in that day? He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. There's going to be many a people that warmed up church pews for many a years.
Amen.
That die and go to hell because they professed Jesus, but they didn't possess Jesus. And last but not least, I want to notice this. The profession of salvation and the possession of salvation. And this in verse number 13. And if you're saved in here this morning, if you know you've been born again, you ought to thank God for this right here. Verse number 13 says this. These things have I written unto you. The gospel message, the truth, the word of God that we have, that we possess. These things have I written unto you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not a hope-so salvation, friend. It's a know-so salvation.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure there's many a people that have sat in this pew that have heard the same invitation I'm getting ready to give, and they thought, man, that preacher's a fool, thinking you can leave here today and know you're on your way to heaven. And they scoff at it. But my Bible says, and you got it right there in front of you, that you may know that you have eternal life. What wonderful peace that is. What kind of joy that is to know that you're on your way to heaven. See, listen to me, friend. We don't work to get to heaven. We work because we're going to heaven.
Amen.
We don't work hoping that eventually God will judge us faithful and He'll let us into heaven. We work because He judged us faithful according to the testimony of Christ. See, when you get saved, Christ changes records with you, if that makes any sense to you. All the sin, all the transgression, all the dirty, wicked, abominable, ungodly things that have displeased God that you've ever done in your entire life were put on Jesus at the cross. And when you stand before God, justified in the sight of God, you don't stand before God as if you had never sinned. You stand before God as if you were never even a sinner. The righteousness of God. The Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You have the righteousness of Christ imputed to you if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it doesn't depend on you. That's why it doesn't depend on your works. That's why you can know that you're on your way to heaven. That's why John said, "These things have I written unto you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." He said, "Listen, I've given you this record so that those of you who are saved, you can know you're saved, and those of you who aren't saved, so you can get saved." If you're in here this morning and you've never been saved, you've never been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've never been born again, and you don't know if you die whether you're going to spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or whether you're going to burn in the flames of hell for all eternity, my friend, let me beg you this morning, today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted day. Behold, the Lord says, today is the day of salvation. You might not get another chance. You might not get another opportunity. You might slip off into eternity before you hear another gospel presentation, before you feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God again. Let me ask you this here this morning, and I want you to ask yourself, do you know that you know? Is it well with your soul? Are you 100% sure this morning? If you're not, why don't you get saved? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. There's nobody looking around but me. I wonder this morning if there's any of us in here. Maybe there's Christians and you've doubted your salvation. Maybe you've been unsure. Maybe you're just not 100% sure, but you thank God for the Word of God because today He's confirmed it in your heart. If that's you this morning, why don't you come up to the altar and get a hold of God and just thank Him and praise Him a little bit. I wonder this morning, most importantly, most of all, if you're in here this morning and you're unsaved and you're on your way to hell, but you don't want to go to hell, you don't want to live this life of sin anymore, you don't want to have to struggle through this life without God by your side, you don't want to be the enemy of God anymore, you don't want to struggle against the things of God anymore, why don't you get saved by His grace today? If you're in here this morning and you know, down in your heart, you know that you've never been saved, would you raise your hand and admit it? There ain't nobody looking around but me, and you got nothing to be ashamed of this morning, friend. Every single one of us had to come to this point in our life at some time or another. If you're in here this morning and you're not saved, would you raise your hand? There's nobody looking around but me. Say, "Preacher, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to quit living this life. I want to live a life for Christ. I want to be saved by the grace of God." If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? There's nobody looking around but me. Maybe you've got a brother or a sister, a mom or a dad, a grandpa or a grandma, a granddaughter, a grandchild, a son, a daughter. Maybe you've got somebody in your family that's not saved and they're on their way to hell and you want to see them saved before it's eternally too late. Why don't you come to the altar this morning and pray for them? Why don't you come to the altar this morning and ask God to intercede on their part? Why don't you ask God to move in their heart? Why don't you ask the message of the gospel to be relayed to their heart in such a way that they can understand and believe and be converted? That's you in here this morning. I invite you to come.